As we come together today, I will continue to be reading from the book of John. And I thought I deserve you deserve a little bit of an explanation. Many of you may know the term lectionary. I'm a lectionary preacher. If you were to go to any church in the United States, any church that follows the lectionary, you would be hearing the same lessons from the Bible. There is an ecumenical committee that meets every year and determines a three-year cycle of scripture readings. There's year A, year B, year C, and for every Sunday of each of those years, this committee of different religious leaders determines which readings go for each Sunday. Now, the point of this is that today, as we read from the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to John, you can know that there are people throughout the world who follow the common lectionary who are also struggling and wrestling with this scripture passage. And that's important to me, to think about other Christians delving into the same part of the Bible. That's in part why it's kind of curious that today we're reading about Holy Communion, if you will, and today's not a Communion Sunday. That wasn't my decision, it was the folks who made up the lectionary. But you'll see, I believe, that it has direct impact on our lives today. Having said all that, let us look to the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to John, chapter 6, verses 51 through 59. If you so choose, you can follow along in your pew Bible in the New Testament on page 93. So hear the word of the Lord. This is Jesus speaking. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them, just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever." He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So much of the meaning of the scripture that I just read from John depends upon the ears that hear it. On this Sunday in August of 2006, you might go downtown to Denver or Aurora and you might read this passage from John's gospel to the person on the street. And if you did that, it would likely be met with a reaction of shock and disbelief. Or perhaps this passage would elicit a response of calm reassurance and gentle acceptance. It all depends upon the ears that hear this passage. And you know what? This was the same spectrum of reaction when Jesus said these words to the people in the synagogue in Capernaum almost 2,000 years ago. The same kinds of responses. Think about it. If you did not already believe in the good news of Jesus Christ, if you were to hear this passage without any background in the Christian church, you might well believe that Jesus was describing cannibalism. All this talk about eating human flesh and drinking human blood. If you heard this passage through the ears of a non-believer, you would probably not even hear the part about the bread of life. You would react out of shock and disbelief and probably revulsion that these Christians go into the dark privacy of their churches and practice cannibalism. What's with these Christians? But maybe that was the point of Jesus' description of eating flesh and drinking blood. As you may well know, the Gospel of John is often about the division between believers and non-believers, the separation of those who were Christians and those who were not, the people who were insiders and the people who were outsiders. When you read John's account of Jesus, you often come away with the feeling that Jesus was being purposefully mysterious in order to differentiate his followers from the rest of the population. I think that the complete opposite is actually the truth of Jesus' message. I believe that his message is so simple and so absolutely fundamental that we often mistake it for foolishness. And I believe that Jesus meant his message to have direct life application for every person on this earth. If the people in the synagogue in Capernaum and the people on the streets of 2006 were to hear Jesus' message through the ears of believers in Christ, this simple and profound message might not be mistaken. It might not be misconstrued. In part, Jesus' description of eating human flesh and drinking human blood is nothing more and nothing less than a description of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary and our subsequent practice of celebrating Holy Communion in memory of Jesus' love for all people. The point of Jesus coming to earth to live a life of a human being is the very foundation of Christianity. This is the incarnation, God becoming flesh. It is Emmanuel, God with us. All this talk of body and blood is the essence of God's love for us. If you look to John 3:16 and 17, probably the most quoted part of the entire Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world would be saved through him. God loves us so much that he became flesh and blood just like you and just like me. God didn't give us a book to read. He didn't give us an instruction manual to follow. God didn't only send prophets to instruct us in how to live the best kind of life. God came to earth and became a human being, God's self. There was no middleman in this transaction. God came here. During the time of John, many people believed, and many people today believe, that there is a separation between the body and the soul. We talk about how the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We often speak about the difference between our minds and our bodies. When I listen to or read the gospel of Jesus Christ, my ears don't hear this hard and fast distinction. I believe that Jesus saw our minds and our bodies as fundamentally a unity, a wonderful combination of our natures that truly defines who we are as a Christian people, body and soul together. Much of Jesus' message has to do with the idea of the corporality of our life. As much as we would make it about our minds and our spirits, it is also fundamentally about our bodies. As much as we try to intellectualize our faith in God, it is also a question of human touch. Let's try something. I'm asking each of you to close your eyes and to trust me. Nobody's going to touch you. Please close your eyes. In the quiet of this church, I want you to imagine the feeling of someone you love very deeply touching you. It might be your mother or your father. It might be a spouse or a significant other in your life. It might be a child who holds a special place in your heart. Now, when I do this, when I think about my mom, I can still feel the warmth of her arms around my shoulders and the touch of her cheek against the skin of my face. But for you, can you feel the touch of that loved one? Maybe it's the way that person holds your hand or caresses your cheek. It might be the strength and power of a handshake. Isn't it real? Can't you feel it even now? Okay, you can open your eyes. As far as I could see, everybody did close their eyes. I'm amazed. I believe that this sensation of human touch is so basic and so important that even if we cannot admit it to ourselves, we all crave this form of human companionship. I also believe that people today, believers and non-believers alike, actually miss that feeling of human touch from Jesus Christ. We need God's love, and we need the touch of Christ from one human being to another. That's why, in part, our church community is so important, so that we can share the corporality, the bodiness of Christ in the human touch among our congregation. Do you know why it's so hard for me to get you back together in the beginning after you've been shaking people's hands? Where else in life do we have the permission to touch each other? We do it here. Jesus himself said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." This is the importance of Holy Communion. This living bread. It is both symbolic of Christ's life and death as a human man, but it is also literally the bread of life, sustaining our human bodies. When we think about food in our daily lives, it's my guess that we often take bread for granted. Think about the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. We're asking God for bread every day. But here's a question. When is the last time that you baked a loaf of homemade bread? Now, I'm not talking about the ready-made dough that you get from the freezer case. And I'm not talking about the bread that comes out of the automatic bread maker. I'm talking about the mixing by hand of the water and the yeast and the flour, the kneading and the rising and the kneading, and the greased loaf pans in the hot oven. When is the last time you baked bread? Can't you just smell that magical aroma of baking bread as it fills your kitchen and then your whole house? Can't you just taste that marvelous flavor of yeast and dough and chewy goodness as you bite into that first hot slice? Almost every culture on earth seems to have some form of bread. There seems to be a near universality of bread. It is perhaps the simplest and most foundational of foods. People all over the world have been eating bread for literally thousands of years. We are so abundantly blessed in our lives in these United States that we often take bread for granted. When is the last time you thought about the millions of hungry people in this world? What about the thousands of hungry people right here in our city? We often take bread for granted. But for an unbelievable number of people around us, a slice of bread would be a feast. Have you ever been hungry? I mean really hungry, where your stomach cramped and you felt that hollow, gnawing ache in your very core. When there was nothing else in the whole world that you could think about but your miserable hunger and your need for some kind of food. God knows that there are millions of people in our world who feel that same kind of physical hunger every day. Millions of people around us hunger for bread for their bodies, and they hunger for the living bread of Jesus Christ. If we would be disciples of the risen Savior, if we are to truly follow Jesus, then it is our calling to help feed people, to help people meet this hunger. We are meant to help people feed their bodies and to help people feed their very souls. The one who eats this bread will live forever. Maybe that's what we hear through the ears of a Christian. Amen.